August the 5th, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Murad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradiomaradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Prophet Muhammad is our original self. The Quran Surah 33, Ayah 6, Prophet closer believer than self. The Quran Surah 7, Ayah 157, he came down with the light. John 3:13, heaven none ascended none unless came down. Bukhari, page 8, 246, Adam 60 cubits arm length. So Muhammad retained flesh purity, the mortal innocence. And Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, also had lived even without God revealing anything to him for 40 years. And he had retained the flesh purity and the moral innocence that God created for all human beings. And therefore, God selected him from among his fellow citizens and selected him to be a messenger of all people, to all people, pardon me. And then told him, I know that they will think that you're something above a human being, too, because you're going to do marvelous things. Tell them, I am a human mortal like you are. Anna Bashirun. Mithlikum, Anna Bashirun Mithlikum. I am a human person or human mortal like all of you are. Slavery under God is your maximum freedom. And then they were still not without a unanimous decision. There were many who didn't agree with their portrayal of Jesus Christ as God and man. I'm still talking about what I started out talking about. The human being in the excellent created form for your freedom and for your prosperity. So when Muhammad said, and none will rise or go up except on that pattern that he gave Adam, he is saying that you won't have prosperity. You won't have happiness. You won't have it until you conform to the pattern of life that God created for Adam. I got all these notes. And I don't need any of them because this has been my subject for over 50 years. Praise be to Allah. So the Bible says something similar. It says, no one has arisen to heaven except him who was in heaven already. Al-Islam is the true freedom, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us to the true freedom by telling us that we were created to be his slaves. But a slave of God, if he is not a fanatic or a drunken drinking the wine of revelation and not understanding the plain teaching, if he's not confused, slavery under God is your maximum freedom. Slavery to your creator is your maximum freedom. It is true. Freedom is the freedom your heart and your soul God gave you once in the true freedom. And look how a strategy revealed to a mortal amongst us in his human excellence before he got revelation, broke the grip of slavery. God addressed all of us as Ibad of God, Ibadullah. Yeah, Ibadullah. Here are all human beings, especially the man being called by God, being addressed by God as the slave of God. Bilal heard that, and he refused to go anymore, being a slave of a man. He refused to be his master, and his master taunted him to get him to conform and go back to his slavery behavior. He had before, and Bilal would rather die than to do that. So he had lived for 40 years amongst false idols and false idol worshippers, had retained a human mold that God created for Adam. Let's follow that man and love him more than we love our families, love him more than we love our own self, because he is our original self par excellence. So Muhammad is the complete man because he's bright, he's community. He brought his, pardon me, because he brought his community to the promised land. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 6, Muhammad closer to believers than oneself, own self. Bukhari, page 113, believer not until love profit most. Matthew 10:35-37, Jesus set family against itself. So connecting ourselves back to our father, Adam, and not God, Adam is our father, God is our creator, and earning his acceptance so that we will unite again in that great relationship with our original nature and our own selves, our life. What will help the Muslim follow and do what Prophet did, what the Prophet, prayers, and the peace be upon him did, and look at Imam W. Dean Muhammad for an example. It is not mentioned because our own family members and the whole of mankind, because mother wasn't that important back there in those days. Man cared more about his father and brother because they worked together and made money and fought together and got over on people. So he needed the man. His attachment was to his father and his brother. That's why the mother wasn't mentioned, and even the whole of mankind. Why? Because if you have what Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is, that is the complete man. Even Abraham didn't live to see the promised land. So Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was the man who brought his community to the promised land while he was living. So he is the complete man. If you don't love that man who lived not selfishly, but lived for the whole of humanity, then you don't have real love. Your love is not complete. And if you have a choice between him and your babies and your relatives, your family, you have to choose him and sacrifice the family. If you have a choice between the whole of mankind, all the people on earth, and him, you have to choose him and cut the whole world loose. Why? Because if you stay with him, you will bring the whole world back. The Quran, Surah 34, Ayah 24, Allah feeds from above and below, pointing firstly to its creator, but also pointing to other things in creation that are similar to it, to have us understand the schemes of matter, the plane for matter, etc. But I also can use the language of the so-called modern secular world too. And it satisfies me, who was it, Einstein and many others? Einstein came up with the theory of relativity. And scientists in that field will say what? not a Muslim, just any scientist, he would say, yes, that is the truth. But it's relative. That's what he'll say, meaning that you have to see its relation with something else, with earth, sun, because it couldn't get that without sunshine. It couldn't get it. It couldn't get its growth without the earth giving gives us the food, and really the sky gives us food. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this before modern science, say he feeds from above and also from below. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Now, science tells us that where there are rain and lightning and thunder, that nutrients are formed above in the sky by lightning and the charge of polarity, the field of electricity, the charge of it, and everything, those charges are other. I didn't mention form nutrients, and the water is not all water. I used to believe this until I read this. I was a grown man with a family, thought that the sky rained only water. So if the sky rains only water, we wouldn't have the luxurious and plentiful and beautiful harvests from our gardens and farms that we have. It rains also nutrients. Nutrients also formed in the rain. And the raindrops come down with water and nutrients. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he feeds if it's only water, he's not feeding, he's giving drink. So that's not feeding. So water is just giving drink for thirst. But if he got some material inside the water, he's giving food and drink. And that's what science says. So I think I'm the imam. I am because I love science and I love the material world. If we don't love what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the material world, and he made us, and he made us to benefit from the material world. So if we don't love a relationship with the material world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made to give us our material bodies and to engage our intelligence, our thinking minds, studious minds, then we are not, then we are missing what is number one to develop our intellect and to be a real good student, productive, creative. The Quran, Surah 34, Ayah 24, Allah feeds from above and below. Now, al-Islam wants to condition us for the work we have to do for our family and our neighborhood and our world. How does it condition us? It tells us that the things that are invisible, the things that are not seen, they are stronger than the visible. What you see? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the sky, see how those bodies are held up there. And it seems as though they are not structures to support them. They are not supported by visible structures. There are planets up there, Jupiter, much bigger than the earth, much heavier than the earth. But we can go out there and get a telescope sometime, maybe, and we can see it with our eyes if we know where to look for it. And it is up there in space, suspended in space. And it seems as though nothing is holding it up. Now, we know something is holding it up when we learn science, astronomy, etc. We know what's holding it up. Science has identified what is holding it up. But for the human eye, we don't see anything holding it up. Imagine that. The earth that we are on right now, we could not know the size of it unless science had not discovered how to measure the size of the earth, how to know something about it. We wouldn't know how to measure it. We would think it was endless. You don't see any end to the earth. You keep going. You think it is endless. Look how amazing God's creation is. We can't really know it with our common senses. with our common mind. Look at space. These are things God wants us to think about so that we will be conditioned to be successful in our life on earth. He wants us to have faith, so he created a world to signal to you things that tell your thoughts and excite your intellect, excite your mind, and make you want to ask questions. Why? How long? Where does it end? Where are we going? These are the thoughts that brought people to God and became thinkers and later seers and later messengers and prophets of God, looking at the wonders of creation. So God wants to prepare us to be successful. He made a creation to prepare us to be successful. Then he revealed about the sky, and he says, look at the sky, how he made it. Then he tells us that he feeds us from not only from the earth, but he says he feeds us both from the sky and the earth. Then we study science and learn from science. Nutrients come down with the rain, not just rain. He said he made the earth to give you all that you need. That is what God said. He made it to be enough for you. That is what God says. He made it to be enough for you and your needs. But yet we have a lot of people starving. A lot of people say they don't have work. Was God wrong? No. God is right. The world is wrong. There shouldn't be nobody starving. There shouldn't be nobody who is able to work out of work. We had a congressman pushing for full employment, and we still should be pushing for full employment. There is no need for anyone who wants to work to be out of a job, and no need for anybody to be hungry. You hear about the war on poverty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God declared the first war on poverty when God told the Jews, the Christians and us, not to be comfortable while our brothers and sisters are suffering. That is the war on poverty. Many have too much and many have nothing. That is not good. It is not God's fault. It is the world's fault that who are not listening to God and not obeying God, that we have these ugly things happening to us on this earth and these ugly conditions in our lives on this earth. Hunger, joblessness, because man ordered world wrong. So these are the thoughts that brought people to believe in God and became thinkers and later seers and later messengers and prophets of God, looking at the wonders of the creation. So God wants to prepare us to be successful. So he made a creation to prepare us to be successful. Then he revealed about the sky, and he said, look at the sky, how he made it. Then he tells us that he feeds us not only from the earth, but he said he feeds us both from the sky and the earth. Then we study science and learn from science, nutrients come down with the rain, not just rain. We think only rain, but science has discovered that not only water is coming down from the sky, but nutrients are coming down from the sky. And that is a substance that is needed in the earth to make plants and food grow more and better. So it is for life, to feed the plant life. So not only water is coming down from heaven, food is coming down from heaven to grow your food better and to make it more abundant on this earth. So God revealed this long before science explained it, that he feeds you both from the heavens and from the skies and from the earth. The trees feed from above. The trees feed from above the spirit and below the material. The Quran, Surah 34, Ayah 24, Allah feeds from above and below. Say, who gives you substance from the heavens and the earth? Say, it is Allah, and certain it is that either we or ye are on right guidance or in manifest error. So this tree is feeding from above and from beneath. Above is symbolic of the spiritual need. It is feeding upon the spiritual life from what God created for it. And its material life rooting in the earth is feeding also from what God provided for it. So the roots are not just feeding all material things, but the roots need spirit too. It is feeding upon water and breathing air too. If it can't get oxygen, it will die. Not just the trees, even small plants. If their roots can't get oxygen, they will die. So earth represents our appetite. Sky gives perception. The Quran, Surah 34, Ayah 24, Allah feeds from above and below. The Quran, Surah 57, Ayah 25, iron sent down. So God says to us in the Quran that he is the one who provides for us from the earth and from the sky. He gives us our substance. I'm using the language of the translator. Provides both from the earth and from the sky. From the earth, what is that? To save a lot of time, I am not going to give a lot of quotes. I'm going to deal straight to the purpose. What is the earth? Appetite. So God gives us whatever we need for our earthly appetite, food, clothing, shelter, comfort of this reality, etc. But he also gives us from the sky, and what comes from the sky, rain, is symbolic of revelation. Sometimes rain comes from the lower sky, and we know other things. Sometimes the sky will rain down material objects. And sometimes we find after the object has burned and cooled down, it is safe to go and pick it up or pick up with our hands. Precious metals come down from the sky. So he also gives us material from the sky too, not just water or spiritual. So this is why we say God sends down iron. So this is in the Quran. You who read, we know that is a metaphor or a symbol, symbolic language that has to be understood. But it is also true in common language. We know there has been objects that fell to the earth from the sky, and they are found there. Was iron material in those objects? It has been heated up to fire falling through the atmosphere and cooled off, and there was iron left there in the hole that the meteor made when it fell down into the earth. We know this is literally true too. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran is true to your mind. That is uneducated and true to the mind educated. So in the language of revelation, it has to be true both. So if God says he is going to give you pure virgins, he means that the pure ones will get pure virgins. You probably can't handle 72 of them, but it says 72. Now, that is the part you need interpreted, but not the virgins. You're going to get some virgins down here. It says the virgin man is worthy of the virgin woman, and the virgin woman is worthy of the virgin man. But we know on this sexual level, that's the cheapest reward. The more expensive reward is on the level of the translation and interpretation. The hereafter is more valuable, more precious, both in quality and quantity. So this God's word in the Quran. Sky, Allah gives us perception. So he's going to give us from the sky. Well, will it be these meals that fell from the sky? No. what he's going to give us from the sky to govern our appetite. He's going to fulfill our appetite from the sky to survive our appetite. Don't you know man has to survive his own appetite? His appetite will kill him, and the appetite will get him killed. Both because if he wants what I have, I might kill it. You know that. Many of you, if he wants without bothering me, he might kill himself, consuming too much and consuming the wrong thing. So it is not talking about that earth gives or fulfills that, our appetite. What is he going to give us from the sky? Perception. You students, please write this down. The clear perception that will free the life down on earth is the perception we get from the sky. The Arab quote says, the night has 1,000 eyes and the day but one. One on talking about the sun, and the 1,000 is talking about the stars. Actually, we know it is more than a 1,000, but he said just to make a picture, comparison. So the night has eyes, meaning that the night has lights, and when you understand those lights, it will open your eyes to a bigger reality. So it is the heavens that open our eyes to the biggest reality. We will never know this system of matter unless we study the sky. And we can't see the sky until the sun goes down or has gone. So the sun sets and darkness prevails, and then we can see on a clear night when there are no clouds in the lower heavens, we can see a big space up there. That's right. A well always tells us, right always tells us that space is much bigger than our space down here. Any common person knows that, and so many light. So the further you look, the deeper you go, you still see signs of more light behind those lights. So they invented the telescope, and it revealed many lights that we couldn't see or reach with our eyes. They made the telescope powerful enough to see beyond what we can see, and even the telescope reaches its end, and it is just like the eyes. See, there are more lights behind the lights that it can see too well. So we know that we cannot reach the end of the light, so we can reach the end of space. Man has progressed to this degree. He has progressed in science, technology. But he cannot give anybody on earth a map of the universe, because he is steadily turning his glass to see further and further away. And every time he get a high-powered glass to see further away, he is seeing more stars. He didn't know the end of it. So he can't give us a map of this reality. He can't give us a map of the creation itself. And some of you want to see the end of God, to see where God starts and stops. First, see where his world starts and stops, that you are living on, living in. You can't see that. And none of you higher scientists can see that. The United States can't see that. It can't give us a map of the universe. It only can give us a map of what is known to them, to science. So far, that is a reality that ought to humble you and stop you from asking disrespectful questions of God, disrespecting your God, asking stupid questions. Abraham is our second father. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 124, Abraham an imam for the nations. So from the heavens come perception. How are we to pinpoint this so we know, in fact, what this is all about? The prophet Abraham is our second father. He is called second father because he earned it from God. God saw him in his constitution and his mental makeup and his mind, his thoughts, his interests, what his heart was interested in. And God loved him in that form and even called him a friend. And God gave him the title Imam for all nations, for all people. And according to Prophet Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, God also established him as our second father when he reported to it his following and to the world what he expressed on his ascent from the Kaaba up into the heavens and his night travel from the vicinity of Mecca, the Kaaba, to the distant mosque, Al-Aqsa, and he reported what he saw. When he was taken up, he saw Adam, our first father, on the first level. It is ascending up into the heavens. He greeted him to let us know how we are to recognize Adam. He said, "Peace be on you, my father Adam." Every other level he ascended to, he met prophets. And he would greet them the same, but he would not say, "Father," he said, "my brother. This is my brother." That until he reached the seventh heaven and he met Abraham there and he greeted him also, "Father." He said, "Peace be on you, my father Abraham." You will not find this in the Quran. This is given so that we will know that we are as followers of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, that we are to recognize Jesus Christ, Adam, and all the others, and the last in the seventh highest heaven, Abraham. We are to recognize and know that two of those are our fathers of mankind. The first one, mortal man, Adam, and the last one, the intellect, Ibrahim, Allahu Akbar. So how did the sky serve Abraham? Abraham was trying to find truth to free his heart and his soul and put his mind in a situation to grow as it would please him. So the thinker, we call them free thinkers in the history of development of the world. So the free thinker is pondering or thinking on what he's observing in the real world. So everything in his environment, including himself, he's thinking, how did this come about? And what is the purpose of this? He wants understanding of his mind and his soul. Abraham, he left his own father because now, do not say he left his father too. This has nothing to do with little Wallace. We are talking about something bigger than Wallace right now. So the Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 1, Allah made angels with wings, 2, 3, and 4 pairs. Allah created angels with wings in pairs, 2, 3, and 4, equal those of the forces of nature, natural motivation, human drive, human sentiment, and human aspiration. Put them together, and you have Jah, the basic principle of operating in nature, who worship Jah, the disbelievers who won't accept that a divine being created this world. He won't accept anything but the forces operating in nature, in the material world. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 1, the originator. Breakfast, break, separation plus fast abstinence. Eggs, if life is life's nucleus, seed core for regeneration. Let us look at this word break fast. It looks like to me break fast. I would call it a quick break. Let us look at another word. It also means to abstain, to stay away from something. Break also means a separation. So the first meaning is a break followed by abstinence. Abstaining from something, how can you connect that with religion? To stand in religion, you have to break from the ungodly world. And then after breaking from it, you have to resist it and keep away from influences. That is not too bad. Eggs represent nuclear of life, seed of life. That's called for regeneration. Now, if you scramble that, man, how are you going to get the pattern back? So earth shines means you'll see God's word in everything. This is not foolishness. Both Bible and Quran said that the earth will one day shine with the glory of its Lord. The church will shine. The congregation will shine. The land will shine. Everything is going to shine. Now, what does that mean? It means that the man has stolen the revealed knowledge and put it secretly everywhere. And it is coming a day when it is going to be exposed and people are going to see it in everything, in all of their language and all of their activities. They are going to see the imprint of the Word of God as a living proof that this world had nothing before it got God. So before it got in touch with revelation, if I can explain it to you, the dinner table, and connect the thing you have there with religion, and connect your dress and connect that with it. Go to your sports and connect that with it. If I can go to your science and connect that with it, if I can go to everything, even your mannerism, and connect that with what we call divine revelation, then that is the established proof that first there was God and revelation. So the Quran Surah 35, Ayat 1, the originator. Let's look at the word in Arabic for futura. What letters are here? F-T-R. We put a feminine ending on it now. We have fitra, what comes first. Nature, what is nature? Fitra, what is breakfast? Futura, having the same basic letters. The fitra has the Arabic word in it. Nature is a chapter in Quran called Al-Fatir. What does it mean? The originator. How can we understand God as the originator in the nature that was first made? If we say God is the originator, he is speaking to his role in bringing about creation for the first time in its first state. Arabic works on basic letters. F, heavy, T, and F are basic letters. So we can have nature, break fast, and we can have originator from the same basic letters. So Tura is the most common name for lunch or noon. Noon is talking about the spiritual life. Nun is talking about the spiritual life. Let's go now to lunch. I don't do this for anybody but my good friends. Lunch has different names, but the most common name is Tura. So this word actually means nun, noontime. We make salat, thurah. So this is an English word, and it connects with a word that Catholics pronounce it none. It's pronounced noon, and what is it talking about? The same thing, a development in a certain aspect of human life. It is talking about the spiritual life, spiritual development. So noon in mythology and none in the religion, I'm telling you, this connects again with none. They pronounce this noon in secret language. It is noon. So this is not only referring to a time of day, it is pronounced noon, and this none should be pronounced noon, but it is not. So what does none mean? That this none gets none of this world. They only want Jesus and the life to come. So this none gets none of this world. Do you think I'm joking? Tell the learned people in theology what I'm telling you, and you will see I'm not joking. When you see their face, when you start talking, you will know I must not be joking. These people are serious. Hura means the back of an animal, the sun arch. Sahira means it appears. Hura means noonday, noontime. They changed it a bit. The same letter. It becomes something else. You just put dots here and there, and it becomes Tahira. It means back, but it means the back of an animal, the part of the sun, as it goes up from the horizon east up the top. That arc that arches it makes like the back of an animal is called Tahira. Tahira. Take another word. We'll just change it a bit. Tahira. This means it appeared. Change it a little more. Euthira. And it means it appeared at that time of day. The sun is the highest in the sky. The light is more profused, broad. So the whole earth is given the maximum benefit of the light. So if you want the maximum of the light in a room, we rise the light higher so it can catch and spread in a wider area. So this form of the verb is a broadening of light. So what does it mean? What does it indicate? It indicates a time of the intellectual abundance of knowledge. The knowledge is really high and it is spread far and wide. So Juma prayer at Fura time, the light is highest. Supper time when the light goes last supper. So this is why the Juma prayer is at that time, because it represents that the time when the rising of the intellect or the rising of the cultural life where the light is higher and it is spreading the furthest. So this also is the meal. What is the meal? Is this word supper? What time of day is that? When the light is gone, you make your own connection. I don't have to say anything about behind that. That word has a last supper. So the last supper at a time when the light is not to see, not to be seen. And I bear witness that they sure didn't show us any light in America. So after Fura, noon, the lunch, then comes Isha, and we say Isha prayer. And the same word is for dinner, supper. These times in our life are connected with religious life, and the time for eating being connected with religious life tells us that somebody is thinking of connecting physical substances with spiritual substances. And whoever had the power to put the spiritual image upon me, the spiritual language on our physical language, must have been in better position of authority in the world than the physical people. So if the physical people was in a position of authority, why didn't they put their physicology language on all of these things? Can you see that the noon, the spiritual people haven't done anything? The religious people run everything. But there are two parts of the religious people. One part keeps the people out of the knowledge and God revealed, and the other part spreads the knowledge. So the Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 3, substance feed from above and below. Blessings coming down and coming up. That's the way. So we should look at our life at home, those that are standing tall over the little short one that was just born a few years ago. Blessings ought to be coming down. Adults, and we ought to be looking at blessings coming up. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayah 12, we eat fish from both sweet and salt water. Water reflects. So the soul, emotional nature, is a very sensitive body. The least little thing gets a response from it. C equals C. The water can let us see what near it or in its view. The reflection is better when it's still. Water reflects. Equals human desires clarity. So the water, so the Quran, Surah 35, Ayah 12, eat fish from the two waters. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayah 4, one water rains down, yet grows different plants. The Quran, Surah 21, Ayah 30, all life is created from water. Elasticus 11:1. Can your bread cast your brine on the water? You might say, you are giving it to us. You take the chain like that, yes, you can do no more than God has created you to do. And man cannot withhold anything from God, or from man, pardon me. God has created the protection. We don't have protection. I can give you all of that, and you can't do a thing with it. But there are a few out there who can do something with it. The Quran says, see how God causes the rain to fall down on some land, and some things grow up beautiful and luxurious in their growth, and others come up niggardly like a nigger who didn't get a chance to go to school. Now, I know niggerly didn't come from niggers saying. The Imam is confusing the two words. Niggerly comes from this rule, and niggers come from the rule. Please, don't waste your time. If you follow me upon faith, you wouldn't have problems. And the test of the following is always there. Faith. It is not how much knowledge you know, or what college or university you attended. It is how much faith you got. That is the ultimate test. That is the final test. And if your faith is not good, even in education, what can you achieve there? Nothing. Faith is the beginning. The Quran says he created every living thing from water. So the Bible says, cast your brand upon the water, and it will return to you. Have faith in the people and trust your knowledge to those who are nothing but spiritual in constitution now. They are not rationally constituted or logically substantiated or structured. They are just like water, but is the beginning of life for the mentality, for the mind. Trust your knowledge to them, and it will run, it will return to you. Look at the English. Trust your knowledge to the water, and it will return to you. It is a parable, isn't it? So we know that the waves go out and come in, don't they? So one time of the day, the waves go out, and the other time of day, the waves come in. So those people who saw this and were aware of the water enough to know that you can cast something upon the water and just might find it on the shore in the morning when the waves come back in. It also says, know those who were trying to convert the particular audience They know that they were talking to people who were selfishly motivated. They were dealing with a very selfish world, stingy and very selfish elite. They didn't want to share their knowledge, their people, thinking that their knowledge would be given with no benefit to them directly. So those pious teachers were trying to convince the hard-hearted, selfish world to trust education to the masses of the people who are not legally structured, who are not students of higher knowledge. They are not materially constituted. They are not industrialists, etc. They are just spirit, wind, water. They are just spirituality. So trust, and this is the body of faith. So trust your knowledge to those common people who are established upon faith. They are continued in the content of faith and spirituality. Trust them. Do you get the picture? Thank God I'm drawing a beautiful picture. It is looking so good, I want to stop and just look at it for a while. They are trying to find ways into them so that their advice will be accepted, and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They reach a lot of government heads, and they took on this new knowledge. They did accomplish a lot. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayat 103, most men know not. In Al-Islam, we don't go that way. We don't compromise. We are not trying to get the leaders of the world to accept what we have for personal advantage or political advantage. We give it to them straight. They can accept it or reject it. We trust God and the Creator, that God has created people who will reject because they are not of His spirit. And He has created people who will accept. They are of His spirit. We will miss many, but we will get the few. And Quranic Arabic is, well, akhirahun la yakulin. Translated, it is, and most of them do not know. The great majority of them, they don't know. They don't have the knowledge. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 12, eat fish from the two waters. Matthew 5:13, what good if the salt loses its savor? Are the sweet water on earth more than salty water? No. There are much more ocean water than lake and river water, right? The salty water bears us a lot of materials. They are high fish in the salty water, the water of wealthy and powerful. So this is the description of their spirituality, but you can't drink it, can you? It sure can't drink it. It will throw it up every time before it gets down. And just to think, a certain party of them was using salt until they had an interruption in their life by one who didn't believe in salt. He believed in kindness over salt. And he said, if the salt has lost its savor, throw it out. It is no more good. And I'm bringing on the taste for sweetness. The day of our salt is out, and it won't taste good in the mouth of humanity anymore. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran came back and it says, in both bodies you find fresh, tender, delectable, tasty. What is it saying? Al-Islam brings in a new interpretation of ocean. Al-Islam does not see ocean as a spiritual or rich or spirituality of the morality or the materially powerful. Al-Islam sees the ocean interpreting the message from God in the ocean is what it should be. It should have remained in the condition of the people of the book. Caution, salt is spirituality. In the conscious intelligence, sweet water is spirituality of all in a fun-loving mentality. So here are a people who have a spirituality and an intelligence inside the body of the spirituality, a body in the corpus intelligence, and the spirituality in the body of the lake and the river is a fun-loving mentality. It loves life and having a good time, like the church I visited one time. They sung so hard, they almost sung me through the wall. I went to the church, and they were jamming so hard, they almost threw me out of the congregation. They were having a good time. I don't dislike them. I love them because God created us to love happiness, to love joy, not sadness and misery. But you need the balance of the salt water. I guess that is why salt is on the table all the time. You need some caution in your spirituality. And I noticed the big fish by a name, he is not doing this in water, jerking around looking curiously. He's smooth. Mr. Farad came and he put the big fish in my water. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mr. Farad put the cautious spirit in the water of our faith, didn't he? Yes, he did. We have given him credit. We have to give him credit. Without him, I wouldn't be where I am right now. And without the Honorable Elijah Muhammad around him for 3 years and taking what he left and staying devoted to it until he brought about a big change in the black community. He brought the black community to stop being ashamed of their black color. So the Quran, Surah 35, Ayah 12, each fish from the two waters. So when mankind comes together with ourselves, not discriminating against people because of race and national origin or anything, what are we doing? We are registering the burden on the human soul. And we get a bit salty, don't we? We say we have to organize and change things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that too in man's soul. That is why it says from the book, the sweet water and the salt water is delicious meat. Ocean fish life moves about in a serious fashion. So this language is so beautiful when we free ourselves, as long as we are in the prison of our own narrow thinking. We cannot see the full beauty of God's revelation, but if we meet in the ocean of the soul of mankind, we can see it there. And those creatures, they move about in a serious fashion. You do not see living fish, whatever is in the ocean, moving about like they are going to a carnival or to a playground or something. They move around like serious business, like they are seeking serious business. But those little playful fish, sweet water fish, they are just flipping around about. But in the big ocean, the creatures are moving with cautious precision. You have seen them, haven't you? If you have not, go to the aquarium and you will see the difference on how they move. So fish straight in a tunnel, in a channel, pardon me, symbolic of preventing the intellect from distraction. Purpose brings unity to our life. Although in a channel, no. So fish says, salmon, when they go to spawn, they are in a defined direction. And they continue on that direction until they get there. So what is it saying to us that there must be a higher purpose in the intellect of man to hold his intellectual vision where he does not lose it and have things distracting him to bring unity to his life? Purpose brings unity to our life. So when you give yourself to a higher purpose, it serves to unify our intellect, where your intellect is not going the way and that way and every way. So a defined aim or purpose serve the unity, or a better word in this expression would be integrity. It serves to bring about integrity for man when he has higher purpose, integrity of conscience, where his mind has something to protect and advance his vision going forward, and his thoughts for his vision go and advance forward and in harmony to serve to unify or bring about integrity for man's intellect and consciousness. Integrity means wholeness. Integrity means wholeness, but it also means harmony, agreement, and a workable unity. And that is very important for a reproductive mind. So it has to achieve higher purpose, something that appeals to the mind. Needs for peace, harmony, and integrity. It means agreement in a defined focus. A person of integrity is a very strong person because something higher has formed order, has contributed to their mind coming to order, and having a vision and a defined plan and a commitment to not violate the principles for the plan. Stay moral, stay rational, stay focused, stay obedient to a higher call. That is what makes great people. This is the intent in religion and scripture. It is not always respect in religion as expressed by preachers or leaders, but that is what scripture wants in man. You find a higher call that can bring about the best order for his intellect, for his mind, and situate him as a thinker or a visionary to accomplish all that God created man to accomplish on this planet Earth. Prophet, mission to purify you. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, wanted to see all of us reach that when he said to his followers, meet me at the water pool. The language used like a big bathtub. So that says that his mission was to bring us all together for a refreshing bath. In Quran is pictured him as the unlettered prophet, because mentioning in the book that came before really mentioning in the Torah and the gospel. And what is his mission? To purify you and to free you from every yoke of bond of slavery, all that enslaves the mind, and he came to free us from it. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please God. We thank New Africa Excellent Murad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you, and thank you for listening.